A values-based life starts here.
Welcome to In Conversation with Heartlines, a show where we try and help you do what's right, do what's right, do what's right, so that you can fix the things that are wrong.
Hi there, welcome back. We are continuing to chat to Craig about the program Fathers Matter, and he's busy giving us some tips of how to be a good father. And so Craig, what else do you have for us?
Yeah, I think the second one would be co-parenting and the value that comes with that. In that, I think we live in an age where the old model that may have existed in an age where a father worked, the mother was a housewife and raised the children, took care of them, the father worked hard. We're not in those days anymore. I think it's very rare to find that. And so you have mother and father working, and then you have a child to take care of. When you get home, you know, is that the mother's responsibility, or the fact that you both worked hard for the day? Well, what about sharing in those responsibilities? So it might mean that the mother's going to take care of the child or children, and the father's going to cook the supper, or vice versa. But it's okay. For dads, you can cook, dads. Trust me, I know this. You can cook. In fact, dads, I even know dads that can bake, but we won't go into that right now. It's possible. In fact, it's interesting that some of the best chefs in the world are men. In fact, probably outweigh maybe even women. So I'm not sure what father's excuses might be there in this co-parenting role that we have. And God called us to raise our children. He never said mothers raise the children. He called us as parents to raise our children. And so what it does do, it relieves the pressure on the mother, and it can relieve tension, potential tension and conflict, because the mother might feel she's carrying such a load, you know. And so to have an equitable parenting relationship, you know, so that they can, because I think it'll bring better harmony with the kids as well. They'll feel that in the home.
I think one of the great things about that is maybe one of the worst things you can say, like often you hear fathers talk about babysitting their kids, and it's this idea that the mother's doing all the work and then you come in and do, it's your kid. So the idea of even just the term co-parenting is really powerful, and I think hopefully just plays around with people's imaginations in terms of, like you said, it could be this way, it could be the other way.
Yeah.
How does it work better for you? Because you might find different roles where you split the roles down the middle. You might find other times where you just take turns doing different things, I imagine.
Yeah. And if I can add there, is that co-parenting applies where both parents are in the home, as well as when there's a single parent raising a child. And so the reality is often, be it through separation, through divorce, or be it through a child being born out of wedlock and you have one parent raising the child, whatever the reasons might be there, the research shows that when there are both parents involved in the child's life, and especially when the father's involved, we know the mothers generally are always involved, but when the father gets involved, it actually improves that child's chance of success in life exponentially. It gives that child stability. It makes them feel more secure in their home. It gives them, helps them with identity. And so the benefits of co-parenting are huge, both in a single parent home as well as where both parents are in that home.
So I'm not sure about you. I'm curious to know what that conversation would sound or look like, especially today, because men oftentimes we are so entrenched in our roles. If we both work, I'm the provider, I'm the disciplinarian. But when we're now bringing in the co-parenting idea, is that a conversation that men should have together? Mm. Is that a conversation that he then takes to his wife? Or would he just rather start actually doing the co-parenting?
I think that you would have men that could fit into each of those categories. You know, where you've got the self-starter, independent, recognizing what's going on in the home and would do it. That's obviously first prize, but it won't be all the men. I think to a degree, almost redefining fatherhood and what that looks like, because everybody has a framework, a pattern of thinking as to what a father is. So it's actually requiring a rethinking and a paradigm shift in light of where we are as a society today to say, oh, okay, well, this is a new phenomenon. And I think that's where Heartlines comes in very nicely, that, hey, you know, we could set up to have a training session. We could set up to talk about what the research is showing in light of fathers being involved with their children's lives. And I think when fathers recognize that, it could actually switch the light on to say, hey, I need to be doing things a bit differently. I think in a lot more challenging when it's a single parent raising the child, and if it's the mother raising the child or the gogo, because there could be things that are barriers to them being involved in that child's life. So what would be the first step would be to identify, are there barriers? And if there are barriers, how can we work through so that we can remove those barriers? But if there is access, well, then it requires an adult conversation between those parents. And I think if I was to go to my third tip, it would be to a father and really to the mother as well, is that ask yourself the question, what is in the best interest of our child? What is in the best interest of our child? And so with some of the work I've done in the past, when we would go to the child court and the magistrates making a decision as to should this child be put up for adoption, should the child continue with the family if the family is found, we would be dealing with abandoned children. And often the child is abandoned and the family pitches up a year later to want to get involved, and then they're thinking, hey, I could have got a grant, so let me rather take the child back. And the magistrate makes a decision on the future of that child by that one question. What is in the best interest of the child? That requires those parents to rethink how they've been functioning. Forget about their conflict with this tension. There's, in most of those cases, there'll be a tension that exists. But forget about themselves in that moment and say, okay, as we take these steps forward, let us function on the basis of what is in the best interest of the child. So it's almost thinking more business-like in this, because you need to, because you've got to remove the emotion that exists between the two of you. And for the child to know, both my parents love me, both my parents care for me, and you're going to need to introduce a different way of parenting. You know, and so it is absolutely crucial that if they just remember that one question, it can change the parenting relationship forever.
Sure, Greg, this is super valuable stuff. When I think of tips, the top 10 tips for this, it's like leave the sunscreen cap on or put the toilet seat down. But you're speaking into values. You're giving us things that, and as you're talking, I'm just hearing the title of this program again, Fathers Matter. Like, this is significant stuff. You spoke about the first 1,000 days. You spoke about this idea of co-parenting. And now you're speaking into this aspect. So these are beyond tips, I think. They're kind of really deep values that hopefully parents listening are taking on and going, sure, these are some things we need to think about. And probably you find that many people go into parenting without thinking about these things. So I think you're really raising some good ideas. Do you have one or two more for us?
I think if I stay on that, stay connected to the co-parenting side, but even in that relationship, we have to go to tip 4 is communication is key. And to learn, and it might require outside help so that you can set some boundaries and a framework for you in this relationship as to how will we communicate? Because sadly often communication happens through the child, and that is an absolute no-no. Do not use the child as the pawn to deal with your issues between each other. We don't want to mess up the next generation. And so communication and channel of communication between you as parents is absolutely key. Again, park your differences aside for the sake of your child. And if you both say you truly love your child and you want the best for your child is going to be that you don't bring your issue to the child. And you don't use your child to say, oh, tell your mother I said this. Tell your father I said that. Tell your mother I said this. I mean, what damage are you doing to this child? That the child feels that they're just the pawn to try and solve your issues that you might have not solved. So you've got to park that aside. Speak with one voice to that child. And when I say speak with one voice, if the mother is saying this around disciplinary issues, the father's saying the same thing. Because then what that does, it eliminates the child from being able to play the one parent against the other. Because when you start using the child, that child's gonna, there's a point coming, that child is going to use that to their advantage when they're getting to the teens and rebellion is beginning to surface because of the pain they're carrying.
So before Andile jumps in and takes us to the fifth tip, I heard something in there that feels like maybe a bonus tip, and I'd love for you to maybe say some more. You just almost as a throwaway line, but I'm sure it's not for you. You spoke about you might need outside help. What would you say the importance is as parents of seeking outside voices, and how would you encourage people in that area?
If you as a parent do not have good communication with your former partner or former wife, and you don't have the maturity, and I know that might come across as strong to some parents, to actually work through those issues so that you can better parent the child, then outside help is absolutely crucial. Because this is a child, we're wanting to raise a generation of young people to become responsible adults, to give back to society so that we have a society that carries good values. And so if the parents got to show that, and imagine, just think about this, even with parents separated, if they are able, if they get to that place of proper communication with each other, if they then do speak with one voice to this child is actually can grow up whole. If it's a case of, okay, you know, weekends he spends with the father, you know. But what I've discovered is that often, okay, that's it. Oh, but the money hasn't come through yet. No, you're not going to your father. I'm going to show him a point. No. Why should the child suffer again? The child's suffering already. Why inflict more pain? It's like putting another nail into that child. And so absolutely crucial that parents sort that out. And in fact, I would see that as a very important piece of information, but also in terms of maybe even having group sessions where you have parents who are raising or are separated and how to raise their children as co-parents, even being separated. Because the fact that we've got almost 70% of children growing up fatherless in our country tells me that, okay, there's 70% of parents that need help in that area. And so for me, it's a no-brainer. I know as a father, if I could do anything to help my child in his development, I would do anything. I would break the bank to be able to help him to do that. So if we now separated as parents, does that change? Shouldn't be changing. And so again, I think it comes back to the point where when we look at what a father is, the fact that fathers are often seen just as ATM machines, and the fact that our present reality in the country says there are many fathers unemployed, thousands. In fact, it's probably in the millions. Which means, does that now remove the father from being a father because he can't provide? Should never be. There's still many things the father can, role the father can play, even if he's currently unemployed. You know, it means a father has the opportunity to spend a lot more time with his children. You know, so there's many benefits if that can be resolved.
Now, sliding into number five, I feel like I've been taking notes as a father in waiting and training. What's tip number five? And I know there's lots more and we'll definitely get you back again, but tip number five.
Tip number five is probably the most important one. And that is, for children, love is spelled T-I-M-E, time. It's not spelt by another five-letter word, M-O-N-E-Y, money. Often, and again, it's because of this perception we have of what a father is. If he's seeing himself as the ATM machine, he believes, you know, well, okay, in order for me to show him love, I'm gonna need to give money. And in fact, time is the most valuable thing. Spend time with your children. Spend time doing what they love. Because sometimes as fathers, we want to spend time with the children, but getting them to do what we love and the children hate it. And so I've seen that and the value of that. I remember when my son was about 2 years old, at that time, I had a very well-paying job and living quite comfortably. And I said, you know, I want to give my child the best. And I bought my son a very expensive electric train set. I set it up. I said, boy, he has this thing. It was expensive. For a two-year-old, very expensive. And the problem is, he only had one button to press to make the train go round and round. He wouldn't have touched the train. He wouldn't have moved the train along. And then I realized I could have spent a fraction, probably less than 10% of my money, and bought him a train that he can push. But for me, at that point, I'm thinking, my love is going to be shown to him by having an expensive train set, when in fact, he don't even understand the value of money. I mean, I could make something from outside there, give it, wrap it in some paper and give it to him as a present, and he'd love it. Because he's not seeing, hey, this cost 500 Rand or 1,000 Rand. And so the reason I put that as maybe the most important tip is because that, the showing that love goes from the earliest stage of their child's life right through their lives, probably almost close to when they're leaving home. Again, I'll reference my experience in terms of, I remember my son, and my son was very sporting, very good at all sport, but particularly his love for soccer. I could count on one hand for his entire life, and I won't use all my fingers, how many sporting events I missed, and I'm talking even just the school soccer match, playing another school. I was present about many times as the only father. And he was now like 16, and I'm thinking, you know what, hey, I need to pull back a little bit here, because maybe I'm smothering him. You know, do I really need to be present for everything? So the one day he had a school soccer match, I mean, nothing big. And I said to him, I said, Caleb, would you prefer I don't come to the game today? You know, I know you're getting big, boy, you know, you're 16 years old, and you know, and I don't want to, you know, start cramping your style. And probably the most beautiful words ever spoken, he said, Dad, I love it when you're there. I mean, I almost had to find a corner to start crying, because I felt so loved by him, because my presence there meant so much to him. But at the same time, when he said that, I can remember every time when we were there, when I was there, and I looked at his friends thinking, I wish my father just came once. And that for me spoke volumes. And so when I share this, and that's why I'm so passionate about it, is that for me, I've seen the pain in the eyes, but also I empathize with those kids, because I'm saying it's not their fault. What's wrong with these parents? Why aren't they taking responsibility? But I've also seen my son's friends being parented with money, have the best boots, the best equipment. In fact, my son had a friend that said to him, hey Caleb, what boot, because he knew of Caleb's talent in soccer, he says, you know, which boot do you want? I'll get my father to buy them for you. I'll tell him I need these boots and I'll get him to buy them for you. Now, what you had then was a son literally saying, all you do is just give me money. You're never present here. Well, I'm going to take some more of it. And that for me is why time with your children, doing what they love, is so meaningful, because those children are going to speak of those memories. And often, you know, you're aware that my son, now 28 years old, and is suffering from a chronic illness. And I spend a lot of time with him again at this stage of his life, not knowing that this curveball was coming our way. And often he mentions the times in the past. And when he's mentioning those times, I was always present. And I thank God for that, because I didn't know what was going to happen in this season of my life, but I thank God I did give him the time that I believed he deserved, and the fact that I know he's appreciated that. And so yeah, I want to encourage parents, it doesn't matter the age, time spells love.
What do you say after a man says something that deep?
Yeah, great. Thank you so much for all of those tips. And I think, especially with that last one, like your obvious passion and just love for your own son comes through. But beyond that, it's the compassion you have for other sons. And I think through the work you do, obviously through the stuff you've been able to do with Heartlines, there's that sense of hope in there that this is aimed at parents. How do you do well with your kids? But actually, as men in the world, how do we collectively gather around kids when there's spaces, when there's gaps, and even when there aren't. How do we co-parent as a community? And so I think what you've given us is so valuable, and I hope for parents that are listening and for just social, potential social fathers that are listening, that each of us listens, like really hears what you've said, and even beyond the tips, just the heart and the passion that you have for young people, that we will collectively look around us and say, how do I become part of that? So thank you so much for your time and for just sharing so much of your story. It's been so great.
And that's all the time we have for today. But before you leave, Craig, any parting words?
I'd just like to say to fathers especially, it doesn't matter where you are at this point, you can take a step in the right direction. And for me, it doesn't matter how bad it is. There's always an opportunity to start anew. You can't change what's happened in the past, but you can start afresh today. And who knows, the grace and mercy of God will be upon you and you can still enjoy life fathering your children.
Wow. Wow. Craig, thank you so much for joining me. And to everyone listening in, thank you so much for joining us. We'll be back again same time next week. Enjoy the rest of your week and God bless.